The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everybody to our service of morning prayer today, and a special word of welcome to those who will be tuning in at home and joining us on the live stream, and also who'll be listening in over the phone later on. It's great to have everybody here with us as we worship together today. I know that the past week hasn't been an easy week with many new restrictions being announced in the bid to decrease the rate of infection. And there's lots of uncertainty, I guess, around about what might be announced as the days go by. So the theme of our service today is about real religion, about who to trust when things are not going smoothly. That's the theme of our service today. And just wanted to mention a few things. Again, if this is your first Sunday back, as it may be for some people, or if you haven't been here in a while, we're obviously doing things a little bit differently at the moment. So one of the most obvious and challenging things for many people is we're not allowed to sing. So whenever the hymns happen during our service, the words will appear on the screen, and we just sit and we reflect on the words as we hear the music played through our sound system. Also, there's no collection during our service, so there is a basket at the back if people wish to make a free will offering. It's just at the back of the church. And the third thing is just to please ensure that your name has been recorded and your telephone number recorded as you came in today by one of our stewards. That's really important to us for traceability purposes. And we just ask you then to remain seated at the end of the service until somebody indicates to you that it's time to go, and then you head out towards either the lawn or the car park so you can have a chat with those who are here. You'll see the notices, hopefully, on the screen for the week that is to come. Most of our events at the moment are taking place over Zoom. So on Wednesday evenings, we've been following through the Alpha course, which is a course that sort of explores the meaning of life. And if people want to join into that course at any point, they're welcome to do so. You just send an email to the email address that's on the screen, and the details are also on the church website. And the same principle applies for our parish prayer meeting that happens on Thursday evenings. If you'd like to take part in that and you're able to pray in your home and join with some others who want to do the same thing, there's the option to do that. If you just send an email, you will be sent the Zoom link to join in the prayer meeting. Next Sunday, our services are our Holy Communion at 11 and at 7. Our opening hymn today is a hymn that reminds us of who is in ultimate control while all these unfolding events are taking place. As we listen to the hymn, "The Lord is King, lift up your voice."
Thank you.
Our service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, and to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Bible reading this morning is a reading all about a journey through the wilderness, and maybe it connects into our own wilderness experience. We read from the book of Exodus, chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Here ends our Bible reading. And in response to that Bible reading, we're going to hear the canticle, Te Deum, part one.
Oh,
We're going to stand together now to confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our special collect prayer for today, which is the 16th Sunday after Trinity. And in this prayer, we ask the Lord for his direction as we seek to be obedient and to follow him. O Lord, hear the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may both perceive and know what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to fulfill them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. During the month of August, the Select Vestry released some emergency funds to CMS to help those who find themselves really struggling with the basics during this pandemic. And it was quite a big decision for the Vestry to make at a time of financial uncertainty. But I wanted you to see where this has made a difference. And at our harvest services at the end of October, the collection will go on that Sunday to the Bishop's Appeal, who work with CMS and Fields of Life and Christian Aid and Tear Fund and many other agencies to support vulnerable people and projects the world over. But we're going to take a little look now to see the difference that the release of funds made through the work of CMS.
We are church. We are one family. Let's support one another and bring hope to our communities.
The impact of the virus for our partners is even more devastating than in countries with strong economies, borrowing power, well-established structures, and health services. Our partners are far more vulnerable.
Thank you.
So we see that in the midst of even very challenging times around the world, the church is still seeking to bring light and hope. And that's the theme of our next song this morning, as we hear the song, Light of the World.
Light of the world, you stepped on into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. And humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow. You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If you follow the church's Facebook page, a very important question was posed just over a week ago, and it evoked quite a bit of reaction. And the question asked very simply, how are you? How are you? Recognizing that this global pandemic is becoming more of a marathon than a sprint, it invited people to leave a message if they wanted prayer for anything at the present time. So, how are you this morning? And I suspect that if I were to go around the church, I would get quite a range of answers if we all took the time to answer that question as honestly as we can. Maybe, for example, we're here this morning and we feel completely exhausted. We're tired of the energy and the effort that everything takes at the present time. We're exhausted by those press conferences and the rules and the regulations that seem to change constantly. We're tired of looking up newspapers and websites to find out if we can do this or that. Can we visit our family if we live here and they live there? How many of us can safely gather today in our bubble? And on it goes. Or maybe if we're asked that question and we answered it honestly, we might say we feel really angry this morning. Maybe we've seen politicians saying one thing and doing another. Or maybe we feel angry and fearful as we hear about these rising infection rates and we see people behaving irresponsibly. They seem to be flouting the rules, no masks, no distancing. And we know people who are ill despite being extremely careful and doing their best to serve the community, while others don't seem to give two hoots and live as if all these restrictions don't exist. Or maybe if we were asked that question about how are you, some of us might tell whoever was asking that we feel really worried as we come to church. We might feel really worried about the effects of all of this on our jobs and our livelihoods, because no sector seems safe at the present time. We don't know what's best to do in the decisions that we're making. And maybe we feel worried about family members who are at different stages of life. Maybe we feel worried about the children we know going to school and their teachers. Or maybe we're concerned about young people who are heading off to university. Or maybe if we've older people in our families who are in nursing homes, we feel worried for their safety and we're unable to visit them as regularly as we'd like to. And so we feel powerless to do the normal things we try to do to protect our loved ones and to keep them safe. But maybe if we're asked that question, we might say, well, do you know, to be honest, I feel pretty content and happy, even in the midst of the storm. And maybe we're just muddling through with the help of our families and friends. We're taking it a day at a time, but we've been able to keep going thus far. And we do feel optimistic that this thing will pass and we'll come through the other side. Our Bible reading this morning seems very contemporary in many ways. It's a story about a journey of faith that's full of ups and downs through the desert. And it asks that question, who do you blame? Who do you blame when things aren't going your way? And as the Israelites are on this very slow journey of liberation from slavery in Egypt towards a new and promised land, it's a journey that's far from plain sailing. And rather like many of us, perhaps, when we heard those announcements about new restrictions this week, the Israelites are grumbling and they're complaining. Deserts, as we all know, are hot and unforgiving places, and the Israelites are thirsty. There was no water. And so they all turned on their leaders. Moses got it first. Give us water to drink, they all demanded, as if he had it in a great big jug in his hand. Why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst? And it's the same sort of spirit within the Israelites that maybe makes us critical of the chief medical officer or the prime minister or the minister of health or our own first minister here in Stormont. And we wonder, why are they making us do this or do that? Why can't I reopen my business? Or why are they introducing yet another layer of confusion or complexity into all of this? The Israelites are mad with God too. And they wonder why he isn't intervening more directly in their situation to remove it, or at least to make it easier. So what I want all of us to think about this morning, and maybe encourage us to do in the first instance, is to be compassionate towards our leaders, towards our bosses at work, towards our teachers or headmasters or headmistresses in school, towards those who are in authority over us in whatever form. Just think about the responsibilities that they're shouldering at the present time. The reality is if they get their decisions wrong, many people might actually lose their lives. And as things already stand, they're aware, just as we are, that the economy is suffering this devastating blow. Jobs are being lost. People's mental health is under huge strain, along with their physical health. And we're all impatient. We all want to get things up and running again. And no one seems to know when we can safely do this. Everyone, by contrast, seems to know who to blame. And certainly, I feel that the atmosphere is very heavy out there. But I really like what Moses did when the people turned on him. He cried out to the Lord, we're told in verse 4 of our reading. He admitted his own lack of answers. What am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me, he said. And the Lord's answer is powerful and challenging to Moses. And it's especially challenging if you're a leader. Because the Lord said very simply, walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders and that staff or that stick to strike the rock. And you know what? That's all any faithful leader can do at the present moment. Walk a little ahead of their people. And even if the people don't like the decisions that are being made, Moses was asked to keep going. Get the best advice you can from your senior people and stay faithful to your calling to lead them. Yes, you might have to do new things. Yes, you might try things and they might fail. But keep walking ahead of them. Try to bring them with you. They might not like your decisions all the time. Some of them will accuse you of going too fast. Others will feel you're going too slow. Some will think you don't have a clue. Others will think you know it all. But just keep walking ahead of them. Be faithful to them. And then I love this picture of Moses striking the rock at Horeb with the staff or the stick. It was the same stick that he had struck the River Nile to generate a flow of water earlier in their journey through the desert. And when Moses struck that rock at Horeb, water comes streaming out to quench the thirst of these groaning, grumbling, moaning Israelites. It's not that they deserve it, after all their complaining. But commentators suggest that it's actually a picture of God's Holy Spirit being poured out. And very often when God's Holy Spirit is poured out on the world, it's in unlikely places and at unlikely times. And yet the need for God's Spirit, now as then, is completely desperate. And it's suggested that this is why Jesus himself is viewed in the New Testament as being our rock, our mighty Savior and Deliverer. We cling to him, and out of him pours these life-giving, refreshing streams that sustain us and renew us. Now, there's no time frame with this journey through the desert. And just like many of us, perhaps, the Israelites ask very fundamental and powerful questions, disturbing questions even. Is the Lord among us or not? That's a big question. Is the Lord among us or not? Well, I want to say this morning that I believe he is. And I want to encourage all of us to cling to that rock who is Jesus in these difficult days. We might not see him right now, but the truth is we have seen his goodness and his faithfulness to us in the past, particularly on that cross at Calvary. And we need his help today and every day as we make our way through our own desert experience, needing his grace and his power to keep us going. Stay close to him. Let us pray. Lord God, we pray today for everyone connecting into this service, whether here in the building or watching or listening at home. And we want to acknowledge before you all those emotions that we're feeling as we come into your presence today. The frustration and the anger, the anxiety and the fear, and the uncertainty about what the future holds. But we thank you today for your promise to be our rock. We thank you today for family and friends, for our church community, for the Bible and for our faith, and for all those things that have brought strength and hope and peace to us as we journey through this wilderness. So we ask you today very simply to go before us, to take us by the hand, and to keep our eyes fixed upon you, and to pour out your life-giving Spirit upon us, to refresh us, renew us, and to keep us in the palm of your hand. And we ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We pray today for the nations of the world. We pray for all those nations that we saw on our video this morning, the world's most vulnerable people and the challenges that they're facing. We pray for big decisions being made by government ministers and leaders every day, decisions that have significant consequences for public safety, for the economy, and for people's physical and mental health. So we want to continue to pray for all senior advisors, those entrusted with very tough decisions, and we ask that they would be guided by your wisdom and your insight, and we pray that we would comply with the guidelines given so that the virus would be suppressed. We also want to pray this day for all who are involved in medical research,
And we ask that they would be given the necessary resources and they would work well collectively to successfully discover a vaccine for COVID-19 in the very near future. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. We remember especially today students in lockdown in Glasgow and Manchester, as we pray for those far from home and family, and we pray that they would find and make good friends in this current situation. We pray for all churches that reach out to students, for universities, as they try to offer help and support, and for families in the anxiety and uncertainty. We also want to pray especially today for those who continue to shield and isolate on medical advice, for those who've now spent over 6 months at home without visitors or opportunities to go out. And we pray for your presence and your faithfulness to sustain and to encourage. And so we want to take just a quiet moment now to bring our own concerns about different people and situations into God's healing presence. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so as we think of the help and strength that faith can bring to our lives in troubled times, that's the theme of our next hymn, as we hear the hymn, Safe in the Shadow of the Lord.
Thank you.
And just before our final blessing, just a little reminder, please, that as you make your way out of the church today, just to make your way down the path or over towards the car park or onto the lawn so as not to block up the entrance to the church. And if you can just remain seated until our stewards indicate that you can head out, that would be really helpful. We bow our heads for God's blessing as we ask and invite him to go ahead of us into the week that is to come. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Our closing hymn today is a hymn that again invites the Lord to go before us and to lead us. The hymn, "Lead Us, Heavenly Father, Lead Us."